Welcome. Welcome to If You Only Knew. And I'm happy to welcome back a former student, a trailblazer, and sports media personality. So many different things, Candace Cooper. In fact, to the listening audience, Candace Cooper is the first Black woman to swim at UNC Chapel Hill going back to 2008. So welcome, Candace, to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Stroman, for having me. This is really an honor. I know everyone who knows Dr. Stroman knows that you are talking to a gem of wisdom every time you get the chance. So I appreciate these minutes that we have here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. So tell us where it all started. Tell me about this journey, how you ended up choosing swimming as your number one sport.
You know, it's crazy. I am a 6 foot tall African-American female. So everyone pinned me to either do volleyball or basketball. And my dad's 6'8", and he was a hooper at St. Aug, a university there in Raleigh, North Carolina. So I didn't want to follow in his footsteps. I wanted to carve my own path. And I actually started swimming at the YMCA and I couldn't get to the deep end. I didn't pass the like swim test. And so I was just, something in me was just determined to get a black belt. I was like, I wanted to get that black necklace. And I was like, whatever I need to do. And I really just took, it was self-taught. It was like, okay, go underwater a little bit. All right, you survived. You didn't die, you know? So let's just do little movements. And so my mom let me join the YMCA swim team. And it was like 2 times a week. That was it. But I wanted to go 5 times and it just kept rolling. I really was blessed to have great coaches who just really poured into me and didn't look at me for being a black swimmer. They were just like, hey, this girl has a talent and she wants to do it. And that's half the battle at that age. And so I started at 8 swimming competitively and it really just took off a life of its own. I did other sports. I did softball. I tried volleyball, but it just didn't stick. I did basketball, but I was like, this team sport thing, I'm struggling because if we lose, it's not just on me. And I don't know how to like pour into other people and make them want to work harder. But in swimming, you know, it's you or that clock, right? So it was very easy to have measure success and failure by myself. So that's kind of how it really took off because I loved just competing in the water and really putting it all on me to like help the team in a sense. So it really began on someone who couldn't swim an entire length of the pool. My parents literally walked with me by my side. I was terrible. And to see like how it's all matriculated, my parents laugh all the time because they're like, girl, we just didn't know. You were scared to jump off the, like, I didn't jump off the diving block until I was probably 10. I was terrified. I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to smack it. And like, that's probably why I'm a backstroker, honestly. Cause I was like, you can water safety grounded. I'm an earth sign. So it's like, I can get in the water and I can go. And, you know, backstroke is really just faith because you can't see where you're going, but you have to just try and you got to trust your count and all of that good stuff. So it really, a lot of life lessons that I've come to as I've, you know, retired from swimming that I've learned, like, that's why I did that. And that's why I've been so blessed to be a part of a sport that, you know, didn't necessarily identify with so many others, but definitely has helped me with this platform. A lot of doors have opened because of it.
Well, I'm sure swimming is one of those sports that I consider lifetime because as we age and the body breaks down, there's only so many things you can do. Like I can't run out and play basketball because of my knee or, you know, people will play really physical and then you get physical. And then next, you know, there's the rumbles on, right? And, but swimming, you know, as we age, people say, go get in the pool, do water aerobics, just jog, you know, a brisk walk in the shallow end.
I'm telling you what,
swimming is a lifetime sport. So that is wonderful. Now you mentioned that your parents were instrumental in this. Were there any particular teachers or mentors that you really made a difference for you?
Yeah, I have a lot of coaches, you know, Ron Turner, Alan Fowle, Maritza McClendon, who is literally one of the best top 100 Black world swimmers in the world. She was ranked in USA Swimming, one of the greatest, and she was one of the first African-American, she is the first African-American woman to win a Olympic medal at the 2000 Sydney Games. If that's when I have that correct, my Olympics might be, you know, getting that mixed up. But this woman was at one point fast in every single event in freestyle. And she exudes and embodies what it is to be a humble giant. Like she's just so incredible. And so having her be someone to look up to and really take a page out of the book of not only being great at what you do, but also giving back is what I hope to exude. And hopefully I'm exuding now in my post-life career.
Well, we share, thank you for that. We share the UNC experience, that Carolina Blue and the Triangle. So what makes it so special for you? We know organizations, institutions are being challenged today in a number of different ways, but UNC is special.
Yeah. So I truly did not want to go to Carolina. The furthest place I was like, I do not want to be close to my family. I want to go. So it came down to LSU and UNC. And I really said, if I broke my knee tomorrow, this is me having, you know, thoughts, I can remember to this day. If I broke my knee tomorrow, would I want to be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana? Like, would I want to be there? No. Like, so my mom is scared of flying. And I was like, she'll never come to a swim meet. She'll never fly and see me. And like, family is, you know, the core for me. And so I was like, let me just stay a little bit closer. I took my recruiting trip and I just felt at home. It literally is just like, this is home. I get the opportunity to go to a great university and I also get to have a great education and I get to, you know, continue my athletic career on such a grand stage and such a great conference. So like, you can't really beat that. And also just being around great women and like-minded women that allowed me to love my sport, but also have life outside of, which I think was really important, especially as a college athlete. You know, you got to have a little mix and it was important to be all in when it was time to be all in, but also to have fun because that's what Carolina is all about. So it really is home. Like as much as I tried to fight, you know, getting when you're at that age, 18, 22, you think you're rebellious. And I'm so glad I made the choice and it's taught me so many lessons. And honestly, I would do it all over again, good or bad or ugly. I would do it again.
Now, you were born and raised in Raleigh. So
yes.
How are your rivalries in terms of NC State and Duke? Which one is more, it gets you going more? Which one are you more passionate about?
You know, it's funny because UNC is actually in swimming a really big rival to Virginia. So that's our huge rival. So that was the one where I've grown to like dislike. I'll take Duke all day. I'll take NC State all day. But growing up, you know, Raleigh, you throw up the Wolfpack sign because that's what you're supposed to do. And then as you get older, you're like, oh, you have to choose an allegiance. And my uncle actually told me, he sent me a message on a phone before he passed away. He's like, I just know you're going to be a Tar Heel. Like, and it was just one of these sweet messages in like his last stages. He's like, I just know you're going to be a Tar Heel. I know like God is mercy. And grace is going to carry you through Chapel Hill. And it was so crazy that I had not chosen where I was going to go to school yet. And to look back and listen to that message now, I'm like, yep, it was all ordained. It was all destined. And so, you know, you pick your rivalry. And sometimes it's heaven sent. You know, we talk about God's glue. I'm just saying it might have been always in the cards for me. So I love NC State and I appreciate Duke, but it's not hate, but it's certainly, I think as you get older, you're like, you appreciate universities for what they are.
Absolutely. I know there are certain videos that will play during usually basketball season, but they come up from time to time because of the intense rivalry. And one of my favorites is Jerry Stackhouse when he does that dunk against Duke. And he does
yes.
I love the ACC, but I'll tell you, there are just certain moments that you just never forget. But I want to ask you, considering what's going on with college sports and how, you know, we're supposed to pay the bills and the pressure on football. And, you know, they're talking about cutting programs and there's no doubt I paid attention to and actually did some advocacy work for other universities and trying to hold on to some of the, what we call Olympic sports. But what's your take on, you know, what it takes to put together a swimming team? Because you need a facility. Yeah. You need, I mean, there's just so much. What's your take?
Absolutely. On? Yeah. You know, I think swimming is probably one of the more expensive Olympic sports to have because just having a pool operating it is extremely expensive. And when I was in school, we had Maryland had a swim team and Clemson had a swim team and they don't have swim teams to this day. And Maryland's reasoning was just having to fund that pool. It was very expensive. So they ended up doing away with it. And Clemson, you know, they were just cutting down sports. So it's amazing to me to see, you know, these big time universities who have these big time, you know, football and basketball programs not keep those Olympic sports. But I think it does a disservice, especially to women athletes, having the opportunity to compete at the next level. Because for us, this is the Mecca. Like, unless you're going to be an Olympian, you know, swimming in college is it. And so not having that opportunity is really a shame. And I hope that people understand, especially when you get in this work field, how many people love athletes, right? They love to hire athletes and they understand you've been through some serious rigor and, you know, you're very disciplined and very great with time management. So I think that the more you can continue to pour into these universities who allow for Olympic sports, the better you are, because a lot of people I know are former Olympic athletes doing really great things.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. Let's take a break here. We'll be right back on If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. I'm speaking to Candace Cooper. We're back. We're talking to Candace Cooper, former UNC swimmer, businesswoman and trailblazer. Candace, let's talk about life after college now. What are you up to? What is taking your attention and what's bringing you joy? Let's start with the business and the professional side first.
Yeah, no doubt. I currently work as a creative project manager for an agency called Rebel Ventures, a small, tight-knit group of, you know, rebel thought leaders who are trying to create digital and creative strategy for different clients, where we are really trying to carve our space in the sports marketing world. So it's really fun to see a lot of people who want to come in, work hard, and provide great content for folks out there who are looking to have a little arm in the sports space, but not necessarily be a part of the team specifically. So that's my day-to-day, is working with partners and working with clients and working with vendors, and like a lot of creative videographers and graphic designers who are up and coming, trying to do good work and just needing that planted seed to start their businesses. So it's really fun. Well,
it sounds like this isn't for the old people like me. So you say up and coming. So that means 20 and 30 year olds? Or?
No, I mean, it's for everyone, because I think there's a lot of people who've been in the industry for a long time who are used to this formulaic, I have to work in a team, I have to work, you know, X amount of years in order to get whatever type of skill set. And they figure out, I've been in this game 10 years, I need something new. And they have this wealth of knowledge and experience, and they come to the agency side, or they come to the freelance side, and they just do things at their own disposal, which I think can be very rewarding and freeing, right? You can do stuff on your own time, on your own metrics. And, you know, it gives you an opportunity to really own and be on that business side. You are your best, you know, best part of your business. You are an entrepreneur, and it's not glamorous all the time, but it certainly can be rewarding with the right group.
Well, I think we touched on it a bit in the first segment, you know, talking about what athletes bring to the business world. And there have been, I'd say at least three reports looking at the value of hiring women athletes. And some of the top CEOs, I think it's like 85% have all played sports. And so when I think about your career in swimming, which we know how rigorous that is, especially at the college level, Power Five school, talk about some of the things that you brought to the business world that allow you to continue to go forward and never give up, and perseverance. Talk about your athletic skills that translate over to the business world.
Yeah, I think if you have any sort of coach that didn't align with you in your thought process or your skill set when you were in college, and having to go into the business world and understand that those are pretty much kind of the same type of people, just a different umbrella, right? And learning how to adjust and, you know, really understand and know your worth and value add that you bring to any company is something that I'm growing and learning in. And, you know, everyone wants to put your measurement into a dollar sign, but it's not always that. I think what you bring sometimes is your knowledge, your, you know, connections, your network, and just your experiences. And I think with being in swimming and being, you know, predominantly white sport, it really allowed for some tough conversations and identifying microaggressive behavior and just being able to call it out, being in a healthy space and a healthy age now to be like, yeah, no, that's not okay. Like before, I felt like I had to take it, right? Because like, I'm just learning, I'm just starting out, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. But I think, you know, it's time to shake some tables, right? It's trying to make people uncomfortable, because they don't grow in the comfort zone. They don't want to get better if it's always a boys club. I think sometimes fragility is very strong, because they don't, no one's ever had to like call them to the carpet, you can say. So I think a lot of spaces that I've been in where I've taken things, I think I've grown to the place where I've now feel confident in speaking up on things, and not in a mean sense, but just in a very educational sense. And I will credit that, you know, not, of course, it's your podcast, Dr. Stroman, but I will say, like, you definitely helped athletes in all of your classes learn their value, right? And I think it's not just, you know, because I'm trying to overly give you your flowers, but it really is important to have someone who looks like you, who's willing to pour into you, who wants you to be beyond just who you are as an athlete. Like, what is your business? Like, you are a walking business, you know, your brand is your everything. And so having someone like you just be able to teach you that, it's like, okay, I'm my own Beyonce, right? I got to be in the background and learn things. So when it's time to perform, I'm ready to go, because I know every nut and bolt that goes into it. And I know what I bring to every part of every table. So I really credit you, you know, especially with my UNC experience, for just planting seeds. And there's not many, you know, there's not many Black women professors at the university right now, especially in the sports space. So I think that's something that the university continued to grow in. But me personally, I think it's one of those things where I have to acknowledge, I have to go back, I have to reach back, I have to do better about making sure that the next people up, they can see someone. Cause I'm so bad about saying like, what do I do? What do you do, Candace? I'm like, yeah, what do I do? I'm so like, I'm that humility part, right? Cause I think as a Black woman, you're like, don't brag too much. Don't overshare. Don't like say your accomplishments too much. I'm like, no, I think we're in a space now where we can humbly brag. Like, we can just talk about like, we're doing a lot and you're working hard, but also you can help other people recognize their worth, because they see what you're doing and they're inspired by it.
That's right. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for those kind words. It means so much to me to see you all do well at Carolina, and then to go begin your life journey. Now, you are also a scholar athlete. You've got your MBA at Wake Forest. And so you've got the ACC love going as well with spending time at other universities as well. And I know you spent time with the microphone. You've been on a number of radio programs, and you definitely know your stuff. You're not just a swimmer, you know sports.
Yeah.
So tell us more about what you're thinking about doing over the next, I don't know, 5-10 years.
Yeah, no doubt. So being on the creative project management side, I get to see a lot of the background. And then, of course, me being talent, you're fighting for a very competitive spot. And so I've been blessed to have a lot of great opportunities. Starting when I, you know, finished swimming, I joined the sports shop with Reese and K-Mac. They're two awesome guys, K-Mac. Yeah. And I literally met in a random conversation. And by the end of it, I was like, just give me a try. Like, just let me try and see what happens with radio. And then 5.5 years later, here I am, you know, various podcasts, you know, filling in on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, their ESPN affiliate. And now having my own show, Locked On ACC, with the David Locke, who is the voice of the Utah Jazz. He started this podcast network and allows me to talk about, you know, all of the conference teams and football, basketball, and Olympic sports. So it's really been a blessing just to have the right people at the right time, because I was in Houston with my own SB Nation radio show and everything was great. And then the world stopped and there was no sports and I had to regroup and reset. And that was a hard time because my identity was jobs and working, and I found my worth in employment. And so having to take a step back and really have that honest conversation as to sometimes God takes everything away just to keep you still and keep you silent and say, okay, do I have your attention now? That was my attention moment. March 2020 was, do I have your attention moment? And even now with what I've done, I would have never done creative, you know, marketing. I would have never investigated the marketing world. And that was my best class in business school. I would have never explored that because I didn't think I had to. I was like, oh, I'm just going to be talent. I don't have to use my brain for real. Like, I just watch sports. And now I'm in a space where I can do both, and I can, you know, use all of my skill set, and I don't have to have one path. It doesn't have to be linear. And that's the beauty of all of this. I think working in sports is you don't have to have one path. What you're doing 10 years from now, it might not even exist yet. So I came up with this quote that I saw from a TikTok, you know, hear me trying to be young. It was like, I don't have a dream job because I don't dream of labor. And that is so true, because I do not want to work the rest of my life.
I love it. I'm going to have to steal that one. Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of what I say to students, that you don't have to choose one or the other.
Yeah.
Choose the order in which you want to do them. You can be a writer, you can be a teacher, you can be a coach, you can be a businesswoman. But so don't let people eliminate, you know, your dreams or what you're thinking about.
Absolutely.
But we're going to talk a lot more with Candace Cooper. We're going to take a break now. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill. You're back. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and I'm speaking with Candace Cooper, the first Black female swimmer at the University of North Carolina, successful businesswoman now working in the marketing arena. Candace, there is no doubt this pandemic has changed our lives. So what have you found yourself doing more of or less than?
Oh my goodness. I have found myself truly being more present. I think every single day is a gift and is not guaranteed for me. I think at any age, people that are my age in their 30s get about the paint, go to glory. I'm like, yeah, I'm not ready yet. So let me make sure I do everything I need to do. But in all seriousness, just being present and listening to my body. I had COVID in December of 2020. And it was a real moment of like, yes, when I'm tired, I'm going to go lay down, instead of like that fight through, you can do it. You know, you're so used as an athlete, like you push. And I think that was a really humbling moment of, yeah, maybe rest. Rest is okay. It's okay to just take a moment, take a beat. So trying to do that more, you know, with this pandemic, and enjoy every moment, and also acknowledging that rest is okay, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're blessed to have that as well.
Absolutely. So when it's all over and you're sitting in your rocking chair watching your favorite team play, what do you want to be remembered for?
Oh man, that's a great question. And I've been thinking on that for a good minute. I think I want to be remembered most for my authenticity. I think I want to be able to give people an opportunity to be brave, just because I think when you hear people say, I tried just because I saw you doing it, right? I showed up just because you put your content out there, and you're not afraid of looking crazy or silly or cracking a joke or laughing at yourself, which I do quite often because I stumble over words all the time. I'm so blessed that I didn't do that much on this one, but you know, I really want authenticity. authenticity to be something people remember me by. But more importantly, I want them to see God through me. Like, I really want to have a Christ-like heart where people are like, I know I want to be like that. And it's not because she gave me a Bible verse every 5 seconds, but because of how she lived, because she literally just tried and she loved and she gave love and she was love. And she always wanted to like have that open line of communication for people to receive love. Cause I think that's what's missing a lot in this current climate. Yes. It's just love. Yeah. And, you know, acceptance. And at the end of the day, people who are very different, we all have different walks and paths, but we are at the core just in need of some love.
Wow. In fact, you've got me thinking about a piece that was sent to me, and I've been sending it to friends about love. And in fact, I think I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, the truth is love exists in so much more than a romantic partner. Mm-hmm. Love is everything around you. And I hope you learn how to open your eyes to that. I hope you find love in every aspect of your life. I hope you find it tucked in early morning sunrises and the smell of your favorite places. I hope you find it strung between the laughter you share with friends. I hope it bounces off of you when you hug the people you care for. I hope it swells within your rib cage whenever you hear your favorite song or discover something that moves you. I hope you fall in love with growth and change and the messiness and the beauty of making mistakes and becoming exactly who you want to be. I hope you find love in places that you were once devoid of it, in places within yourself that you could have been softer to, kinder to in the past. Because if there is one thing I've learned, it is that love is so much more than a human being who holds your heart. Love is everything around you. It is everything.
Yes.
So thank you. Thank you, Candace Cooper. I appreciate you, all that you're doing and all the inspiration that you're providing all across the airwaves and certainly in the Triangle region.
Yes, of course, Dr. Shulman. Thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Absolutely. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.